Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for March 28, 2024, Maundy Thursday, is based on John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield. The sermon is based on our Lenten sermon series, Wandering Heart, and is entitled Streams of Mercy.
An introduction. The story of the Last Supper in John's Gospel recalls a remarkable event not mentioned elsewhere. Jesus performs the duty of a slave, washing the feet of his disciples and urging them to do the same for one another. A reading from John chapter 13. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Now the Son of God has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will look for me. We'll glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Word of God, word of life.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a reminder, our Lenten series and theme this year is entitled Wandering Heart, and in it we are focusing on the life and faith of one of Jesus' most famous disciples. It's in Peter that we see a person who is both steadfast and unsteady, a dear friend and a betrayer, a follower and a wanderer. In Peter, we often see ourselves. And by following Peter's journey, we watch the story of Jesus unfold through the eyes of a very normal human being trying to figure it all out just like us. As we study Peter's faith journey, the words and tune of the classic hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," come to mind. And tonight's phrase from that hymn is, "Streams of mercy never ceasing." My wife has always wanted to see the Grand Canyon. It's been on her bucket list of vacation stops since we've been married. And we might actually get to visit it briefly during our vacation this summer. I personally am excited to maybe spot some of the bighorn rams that perch themselves along the side of the rock cliffs. And to walk across the new, or not very new, but glass sky bridge that goes out over the edge of the cliff and you can look down below. But the real reason I'm excited to see it, probably like the 5 million other visitors that it receives each year, is to appreciate the grandiose beauty of this natural wonder of creation. What you see there today isn't what you would have seen millions of years ago. The Grand Canyon, as we know it today, is thought to have formed over the last 5 to 6 million years due to the eroding power of the Colorado River and its tributaries. That's persistence right there. Water flowing along the same path for 5 to 6 million years, continuing onward no matter the obstacle in its way, smoothing out rocks and creating new terrains as it flows from north to south. An element that we associate with cleansing and life can also wear things down over time and form them into something different. In our reading this evening, as Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet, his act of humbleness, servanthood, and love act not unlike the waters of the Colorado River as they rush over Peter's heart. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Foot washing was an accepted and expected act of hospitality towards guests whose feet were soiled from traveling on dusty roads. The task was typically performed by servants in wealthier homes or by guests themselves in more meager homes. It was also common practice for servants to wash their master's feet or for students to wash the feet of their teachers. But social norms would not have supported a master washing his disciples' feet. This gives us a framework of why Peter would not want Jesus to wash his feet. Reverend Veronica Miles puts it this way: Peter's objection is not about foot washing per se, but about the disruptive nature of Jesus' offer to wash his disciples' feet. Not only does Peter view Jesus' actions as a violation of protocol, he also views himself, and likely others, as unworthy of such a great outpouring of love from the one they regard as Lord. Peter believes that Jesus is Lord. And with that title of Lord in their culture came a hierarchical system. The Messiah would be powerful, dominant, and kingly. The Messiah surely would not kneel down to someone with less social capital than themselves and do the dirty work so often reserved for servants or slaves. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Throughout the years, Peter's heart has been shaped and hardened into something that would not allow his Messiah and King to be someone who would serve others in love and humility. But just as we are created anew in the waters of baptism, the water and words that Jesus uses with Peter in this moment reshape his heart. He is showing Peter once again, just as he has over the past 3 years of teaching, that the true power of God comes in loving and serving our neighbor. God was showing Peter love in that moment, not by fulfilling his wish of a dominating Messiah, but by showing him that God is opening his eyes to a new reality where God's ethic of love, justice, and mercy will flow forever like streams of mercy. No matter how many times Peter gets it wrong, no matter how many times Peter may deny him in the future, God's streams of mercy, grace, and forgiveness will always be flowing over our hearts, helping to reshape it into more of what God intends for us. And so for just a moment, here's the question I would like you to discuss with someone nearby. What rough edges of your heart are God's waters of grace and mercy trying to soften? Streams of mercy never ceasing. Over the next few moments, you'll have the opportunity to experience the streams of God's mercy through our four different stations of service and healing. Up front here, we have foot washing, where we serve and love and allow ourselves to be served. Prayers of healing, where we lean on someone else in our time of need, in the back there near the candles. A remembrance of baptism here at the font, where we remember that God claims us as beloved. An individual confession back here behind the altar, where we hear that we are always forgiven. Music will begin to play as you have the opportunity to visit as many of the four stations with which you are comfortable. And once you've visited all the stations that you wish to visit, please return to your seats, and once everyone is seated, we'll continue with our service. And when we are finished here this evening, let us receive anew Jesus' commandment to Peter and to us. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. With hearts refreshed, renewed, smoothed, reshaped, and prepared by God, we are then sent forth to share those streams of mercy, never ceasing, with everyone we meet. Come as you are ready, with hearts ready to be transformed.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services, at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.